afternoon, saints and sinners alike. Be glad that you have joined us today for a continuation of what the Bible says about Christian character traits. We started this about a week and 2 weeks ago, and then we did the fruit of the Spirit. Now we come back, doubling back to these character qualities that you should have in your life that demonstrate your walk with Christ. So stay with us. By now, you should have called a friend. If you're looking for the phone number to call in, it's 657-383-0091. In case you have to leave your desk or leave wherever your computer is, you can pick it up on your phone and tune in by phone. So we're very mobile. We're right there where you are when you need us. Now, if for some reason you lose your signal or you get distracted and cannot finish the broadcast, right after we finish, this broadcast will be posted as a podcast. So you will be able to listen then and there at your leisure. All our Bible studies are now up as podcasts. So you can go back and refresh your memory and look up the different Bible studies and get the word in you. So you have your Bible, you have your pen, you have your notepad. I do hope your mind is set on receiving the word of God and your heart is open to receiving the word of God. We are a fellowship here together, and I want you to stay tuned because we got some really good announcements coming out. So don't leave me. Stay with me, and let's grow together in God. Let me pray over the broadcast here for a minute. Dear Lord, I just thank you for all the people that you've had tune in to listen through the internet worldwide. Souls can be reached. Souls can be fed, and those who thirst can have a drink of the living water. Lord, I ask that you inspire me and give me the words that I might speak your word in season. Because, Lord, now is the time, and we desperately need to hear from you. So, Lord, speak through me. Touch the ready hearts of your people and help us to be changed from glory to glory, higher and higher in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're ready now. We're ready. Fasten in. And let's try to pay attention, and we're going to start this one right where we left off. We left off at the character trait of creativity versus underachievement. Creativity versus underachievement. And in part one, there was a little mix-up. I gave you the wrong verse when we were finishing up. So I want you to look at Romans 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Now remember, you're writing these down so that you can go back and study in context to make sure that I am giving you the right word. If you've done this 2 weeks ago, then you were probably a little leery and you were like, that kind of doesn't match up. And I had a sister ask me about it, and that's when I found out, and I said, oh, we got to correct that. So thank God that we're able to correct some things, and thank God that I told you, take notes. Make sure that I am giving you the right stuff. Read your own Bible. Don't just be subject to what I teach you. You are growing in Christ. A lot of you are mature in Christ. But don't just take the bread from the table. You know, sometimes you cook up your own. The Lord will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will give you truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 reads as follows. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, saints, you got to know this in this day and this hour, because you got a lot of voices trying to tell you that this is right and that is right. And you got a lot of people that would try to make you feel less than intelligent if you take certain stances. But don't be conformed to this world. I'm trying to let the Lord speak to you. I don't want to just say things and then get you to just close me out. And then you can't hear the Lord. I want you to hear that, still small voice that is within you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind. You got to keep it fresh. You got to be in this word of God so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saints, in this day, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you are doing the perfect will of God. And how do you know that you're doing the perfect will of God? You're in his word. And you don't do things that conflict with his word. You don't have opinions that conflict with the word of God. If you got one opinion, but your opinion conflicts with the word of God, guess what? Your opinion is wrong. The word of God is correct. So, when people say at your work, in your community, they want to do something, they've always done it one way, they got a problem, and to solve the problem, they've always went to certain people. You need to be so connected to God that you can receive the answer from God. And though it might not look like the answer to you, and it might not look like the answer to others, God's ways is not your ways. God's ways are higher than your ways. You got to look and be in touch with God in your Bible, and don't listen to all the noise and the traffic that's going in the airways these days. Listen to that still small voice within you, and he'll help you to achieve higher and greater good. Don't follow the crowd, saints. Follow the Lord. Follow his word. All right. How about that? That's some good stuff. Yes, if you want to get it just how everybody else always had it, then you might be in the wrong place because I am determined to give it to you how the Lord will have you to have. All right, now, this next character trait, decisiveness. Decisiveness versus double-mindedness. The Christian, the godly trait, the Christ-like trait is decisiveness. You have to have the ability to finalize difficult decisions based on the will and ways of God. Let's read James, verse 1. I'm sorry, James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, here's how you're going to do this. Here's how you're able to make these right choices and right decisions. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Let's say that one again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All right, now, we're looking at decisiveness versus double-mindedness. Now, if you are in God's word and you are in communication with God, you're praying, you're asking for wisdom, you got your heart set, and you are open to hearing the Spirit of God, which is within you if you know the Lord. If you are renewing your mind with the washing of the word, if you have set yourself apart and shut out the noise of the world and put yourself in a place and you say, "Dear Lord, I got this decision to make. I've got this choice. It's a very important choice. It's a very important decision. I only get one chance. I can't go back. Once this choice is made, if I change my mind after it's made, I've got to live with the consequences of making that bad choice. I need wisdom." So you ask God, you say, "God, I need wisdom." Right now, we need wisdom. We need the wisdom to see what God would have us to see. We need wisdom, and we're going to find we need courage to stand as a Christian, as a child of God, should stand when it looks like everyone is cutting and running and jumping ship. We have to stand and know that we made the Christ-like Christian choice for godliness. We had to be decisive and not double-minded. You can't look at evil and call evil right. You can't look at evil and call evil good. When God gives us a gift, we have a stewardship over that gift. And it becomes our job to make sure that we do right by the gift that we have been given. We're talking about character qualities that should be evident in a Christian. Now, we should be looking inward when we go through these character traits and looking at ourselves to see where we might need to grow. And true enough, if we have a decision to make about people, it's good to see where they might line up with some of these character traits. And we need to pick the better of the character traits, the ones that line up with the word. Okay, let me get you to turn in your Bibles back to Romans. And we're going to do Romans 14. In verse 21. Romans 14, verse 21. What's our character trait? Deference. Deference. As opposed to rudeness. So many Christians, you know, you just don't want to be with them because they're rude. They're all about me, 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 me. And they don't understand how to give deference to the next person. Deference, limiting my freedom in order not to offend the taste of those whom God has called me to serve. That's a mouthful now, isn't it? Now let's get that verse in. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, see, that right there is deference. See, so many times we're so busy talking about, well, God give me grace to do this. God wants me to be happy. God wouldn't want me to, you know, be without. God knows my heart. Well, maybe all that's true. Maybe it's not so true. Maybe you need to learn to give deference to another brother, deference to another sister. Maybe you should consider where they're weak. Maybe you should consider where they are in their life, where they are in their Christian development, where they are in their spiritual formation. You might feel like there's no problem having a glass of wine with your dinner, whereas you got a young believer who's watching you, and maybe they come out of one of those real religious faith groups, or maybe they come out of an alcoholic family and they've seen the destruction of alcohol. Well, you give deference. And so maybe you don't have wine with your dinner when you're out with this individual. Why? Because it's sin? No. But because your weaker brother or sister there can't handle it. So you have deference to them. Okay? Are you hearing me? Is this getting in? The Christian character trait You don't put yourself higher than the next guy. You're not about me first. You're about how can I support my brother? How can I support my sister in their Christian walk, in their Christian development? Sure, you have plenty of liberties and plenty of freedoms. But don't take your liberties to the extent to where they cause a brother or sister to stumble and where they cause a brother or sister to fail. You know, we'll take that drink of the wine thing. You know, if you happen to be a wine drinker and there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. Matter of fact, it has some medicinal purposes. Drink your wine at home. Maybe, you know, don't flash it around to where it might cause somebody to stumble, or it might cause somebody to not know the Lord because they see you and you're supposed to be a Christian and they have some idea a Christian should not drink wine, and they are uneducated to what your liberty is. Give deference. Don't be rude. All right, now that's a hard one, but we're talking about being mature Christians and having character traits that would let people know when they see us that we have been with God. God wants us to be able to live together and to help each other grow in our relationship with Him. All right, let's go to our next character trait, which is dependability versus inconsistency. Fulfilling what I consented to do, even if it means an unexpected sacrifice. Wow, that's a hard one, ain't it? Let's look at what the Bible says. Psalm 15, verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, you give your word. And let's just go like this here. Say you pledged a certain amount of money because you knew that, you know, all your bills would be paid, all your little fund money was taken care of, and you still had this set of money left over. But what you didn't realize is that your car would have a flat tire or something, you was going to need to buy a new tire. And so this situation happens. You made this pledge to give this money. Somebody counted on you because you made that pledge and said you were going to give them money. And now you're going to have to cut into your fund money if you give up this money. Well, you made a pledge, and you ought to honor your pledge. See, that's the Christian thing. What a lot of us would do would say, well, you know, they just have to understand that I didn't know that my car was going to blow this tire. Well, God knew that your car was going to blow that tire. So that pledge that you made, you need to honor that pledge. Now, I'm going to get real with you here on this pledge. I grabbed a hold of money because it was an easy one. How about you gave your word, you gave your commitment, some might even say you gave a covenant, but you did not know how things were going to turn out. You made that commitment, you made that devotion when things were going good. Yes, I'm talking about relationships right now. You made a commitment to this person when things were all lovey-dovey. Then things start going wrong. Things start going the way you don't think they should go. And now all of a sudden the commitment you made is not as important as your discomfort. Now you're unhappy, and so you start making excuses. You start making justification for why you go back on your commitment, why you break covenant. And you think it's okay with God to break covenant because God doesn't want you to be unhappy, because God doesn't want you uncomfortable. Well, saints, here's the skinny on that. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. God knew what was going to happen before you made the commitment. Had you consulted God instead of your little happiness, instead of your what you want, instead of your little dream, your little goal, your desire, God could have told you, don't do this. Sometimes God does tell us, don't do this, and we go and do it anyway. And then we make that commitment, and then we say, yeah, but I didn't know they were going to do this. Yeah, but I didn't know that they were going to do that. Yeah, but I didn't know how unhappy I was going to be. Dependability versus inconsistency. Are you dependable? Can your word be depended on? If you give your word, if you give a commitment, can people depend on you no matter what? Is that too deep? Is that a hard word? Am I meddling too much right now? See, I have always told you, I am going to give you the word of God. Maybe it's not a happy word, but it's a healthy word. It is a word to where people know that we belong to the Lord. Why? Because it takes godliness. It takes the power of the Lord. To be in certain situations and make the choices and the decisions that glorify God. So before you make that choice, before you make that decision, before you get yourself into something you can't get yourself out of, spend some time with God. Let God speak to you through his word, through his spirit through his people. Go with God. He cares for you. He designed you. He created you. He knows what is going to happen in the future. You do not know. Don't make decisions when you're all hopped up on all these chemicals in your mind. Let the Lord speak to you. Get wisdom. All right. Next one. Determination. Determination versus faint-heartedness. Now, a lot of these kind of seem like they go hand in hand. And, you know, there's a line drawn. You know, are you going to be godly? Are you going to be worldly? The world will tell you, girl, don't nobody do that no more. Girl, you don't have to put up with that. Girl, shoot, not me. A man, shoot, I'd have that woman in check. Man, shoot, I wouldn't let my boss man carry on with me like that. Man, shoot, I'd have my workers in line. You know, don't go listening to the world. Listen to the Spirit of God. That's why you have the Spirit of God, so he could teach you, train you, and show you the right way to go. All right, that word is determination. And that's where 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 will come in. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also who love his appearing. Proposing to accomplish, or purposing to accomplish God's goals in God's time, regardless of the opposition. Listen here. Again, you got two forces at work here. You got God and his way. And you got the world, i.e. Satan, the flesh. Now, you got to choose who you going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord? Or are you going to serve the flesh? The Lord has its reward. The reward now and the reward in the by and by. The flesh has what looks like a reward with its instant gratification, but that comes with all kind of curses and all kinds of trouble. Sometimes you got to go through some things for a short period of time so you can have a long period of time in peace, love, and joy, as opposed to enjoying yourself for that short period of time, which is fleeting, and then have that long eternity full of being damned. You do not want to be damned because of your actions. So you want to have the determination. That's a godly thing. Stubbornness, now that's a worldly thing. Determination, it's a godly thing. Purposing to accomplish God's goals in God's time. Listen here. You are not here to do your thing. If you are a child of God and you wish to be a son of God and have all the rights of sonship and be a co-heir of the throne, then it is your job to live a purpose-led life. And your purpose should be to glorify God in all your doings. You don't set God down and go do your thing and then pick God back up because God knows your heart. You need to stop that. If you got to look to your left and look to your right before you do something to see who you're looking, then you probably ought not to be doing what you're about to do. If you got to say, Lord, forgive me, but I got to tell this one, this right here, then you should probably hold your tongue so that when the time comes, you can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now give me that crown of righteousness because I've done my best to put God first. I set in my mind the purpose to glorify God in all my doings. Even when it wasn't easy, I took the high road instead of the low road. Folks, people will talk about you. People will not make it easy for you to stand up and stand with God. But you need to take the faith that God gave you, the grace that God gave you, and you need to move on with God. You need to let the world see that there's a difference in what's in you than what's in the world. You need to be the testimony that people may never hear because they may never step inside a church and they may never listen to other Christians because they don't trust Christians. They don't trust the church. They don't trust people they don't know. But they know you and they can see the change in your life. They can see the change and the dedication and the determination in your behavior, in your words, and they can tell that you have been with Jesus because you're not the same. There's something different about you. Wow. I almost got the spirit of preach come on me right there. It wouldn't take much, boy. It wouldn't take much. So that's determination versus faint-heartedness. You got to stand strong. Stand strong with the Lord. Now, this next one, and like I say, these sound like they all fit together, and that's on purpose. Trying to help you live your Christian life. And it's not a complicated thing. Now, I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but it's not complicated. You know, we used to wear them bracelets, what would Jesus do? Now, see, if we think like that, and we are in the Word, and we are in relationship with God Himself, and we know that we take him with us wherever we go, and we honor him, and we want everything we do to bring glory unto him, then it makes it a little easier to walk out this Christian life because he lives through us. We can't do it ourselves, but if we allow him to live through us, then we can do it. Now, how about diligence? Diligence is the Christian trait versus slothfulness. slothfulness. Oh boy, a lot of us have a case of that slothfulness. We need to shake that off. And we need to let the Lord build up in us this idea of diligence. Colossians 3, verses 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. And it reads like this. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, visualizing each task as a special assignment from the Lord and using all my energies to accomplish it. Like how that sounds. When you have a task to do, when you have a chore to do, when you have something to do that you'd rather not do, do it with all your heart. Don't do it halfway. Commit to it, do it, and let God get the glory from you doing what you have to do. Do it unto the Lord. As unto the Lord and not unto men. A lot of us work in jobs that are just jobs. It's not a career. It's not something we love. It's something we had to do because we have to earn some money. We have bills to pay. We have debts. And we have to pay our bills and pay our debts. So we're working in jobs that we don't love. So we have tasks to do that we're not excited about, but you do it as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Don't be walking around your job all grumpy face looking like you done sucked on a lemon. Act like you happy you got a job. A whole lot of people don't have jobs today. A whole lot of people can't go out and make no money. So be thankful that you even have a way to make the money, to pay your bills, to have some of your desires met, to be able to do what you do. We make a decision, make a godly decision, a godly decision, and do it as unto God. Have diligence. Don't be lazy. Whistle while you work. Make people wonder what's on your mind. Then you might have an opportunity to share your faith with them. Because they don't have what you have inside. And they're going to see you with joy doing your work as unto God. And not unto man, and they gonna need to know how you do that. Why is that? And then you could tell them it's not so much you, but whom you serve and whose you are. Diligence, long suffering. All right, how about let's move along? I got a couple more I want to give you before I run out of time. Discernment versus judgment. Discernment versus judgment. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, verse 7. We're going to talk about discernment versus judgment. We get in arguments all the time about, well, the Bible say don't judge. The Bible say don't judge. That's not what the Bible says. Cut that out. But
you want to use discernment, judgment. In other words, you're not going to condemn something. You're not going to condemn it, break it down, and that kind of thing. But you are going to use discernment to know, well, this is not for me. This is a bad way. This is not my way that I should go. I'm choosing this way over here because this is the way that I should go. That's discernment. See, the world doesn't know this word, discernment. But you, child of God, you know this word because the secrets of God have been given to you. As you're in his word, he will give you secrets. Remember when you was a kid, you used to have your little best friend, and y'all used to share secrets? Well, that's what Jesus said he will do with you. He will share secrets with you, and he will help you to be faithful. He will help you to be strong. So discernment versus judgment, the God-given ability to understand why things happen. Now let's get in the verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Oh, saints, we need this right now. Right now, right now, we need this. Don't look upon the outside, but you need to look towards God so God can give you the discernment so that you can see what needs to be seen, because we have choices to make, choices that require discernment, the God-given ability to understand why things happen. See, don't go on what you think. Don't go on your gut. Ask God to give it to you. Lord, I got a choice I got to make. Lord, I need some wisdom. I need godly wisdom. Lord, I need to know which way to go because it doesn't seem clear to me right now. I need discernment. Ask for it, and he will give it to you. It's easy and quite worldly to damn something. But who are you? You're not God. You got no reason to be damning anything. You cannot condemn anyone. That's God's job. Now, true enough, you need discernment. And you need to be able to pull a brother or sister aside and let them know, listen, what you're doing right now does not reflect God in you. So that whole thing, don't judge me, well, that's what people say who need to be judged. That's what people say who's not judging their own character. Or they have judged it, and they know that they are lacking. So they don't want someone else to place a judgment on them, because they already know that they're lacking. But you need discernment, because you need to know that you should not be walking with them, because how can two walk together unless they agree? Truth cannot walk with a lie. Mama used to say, don't play with them pigs and don't fight with them pigs. Because if you fight with them, even if you think you beat them, you still got to get down there in the dirt with them, and both of you gonna be all dirty and nasty. And the pig gonna enjoy it. And you dirty and nasty. If you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. You've heard these same things. So we don't want to join ourselves to the ungodly. And we supposed to be godly. What fellowship does the light have with darkness? The light exposes the darkness. In fact, the light eliminates the darkness. So we need that discernment. Now, with discernment, folks, with discernment, we also need discretion. With discernment, we also need discretion. So the next word, character trait, is going to be discretion versus simple-mindedness. Discretion versus simple-mindedness. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple man pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Saints, listen. The ability to avoid words, actions, and attitudes which could result in undesirable consequences. Discretion. See, you got to have this wisdom. You say, oh, no, don't say that. Because if I say that, that's going to take us on this road. And at the end of this road is trouble. You know, don't go in here, because if I go in here, then there's things waiting for me in there. And I may not be strong enough to deal with that. I'm not going there. Don't tie myself to this person, because they're going in a direction that is not compatible with the direction that I am going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A prudent man foreseeth the evil. You see it, you perceive it. There's evil there, and hideth himself. He doesn't go where the evil is. It's like if you see thunderstorms and tornadoes, you go inside. You protect yourself. You don't put yourself in the midst of that storm. That's what simple people do. Mindless people. Simple-minded people believe the propaganda and they go with the crowd. But if you have discretion, you have the ability to avoid words, actions, and attitudes which could result in undesirable consequences. Some of us are aligned with people that are taking us down the wrong road. We have aligned ourselves with people who have a history of taking us down the wrong road and will continue to take us down the wrong road. And doing the wrong things, and we marry ourselves up with them, and we can't get separated from them. We have to be able to see that. We're not simple people. You can't just lead us anywhere. We will follow the good shepherd. We will not follow any shepherd. We will follow the good shepherd, because we know his voice. He calls us by name. So we're going to operate in discretion. And we are going to do the things that he would have us to do so that we can get to where he would have us to be. Hang in there with me. I got one more for you. One more for you. And we're wrapping it up. And then we'll do a part three and part four. And we may or may not do a part five. We'll see. We'll see how we go. We're trying to get the Christian character traits that are going to help us to know what our lives should look like, what character traits we should have that people will look and say, wow, this is a person of good character. This is a person of high esteem. This is a person that has something going on. And I want to know what it is, and I want to be part of what this person has. All right. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And we're going to get our last one for the day. And our last one for the day is endurance versus giving up. Endurance versus giving up. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Endurance, the inward strength to withstand stress to accomplish God's best. The inward strength to withstand stress to accomplish God's best. God wants his best for you. Too many of us quit before the finish line. We quit before the promised land. We don't get to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We work so hard, we're disappointed, we're beaten down, we fail, and we repent, and we come back again, and we start again, and we try, and we try hard, and we're hurt, and we try hard again, and we're hurt, and we keep on, and we keep loving, and we keep trying, and we keep repenting, and we keep searching, and we keep doing our best. And all that is good, saints, but don't quit. Have endurance. Understand that this life as a Christian is not a sprint. Each day we must live it for each day. As a child, I ran track. And I wasn't a sprinter, so I had to do a little longer distance. But in doing the longer distance, you had to break it up in smaller pieces. And you get those smaller piece times faster, then your overall race is faster. That's how we have to do it in this Christian life. It takes endurance. It takes not quitting. It takes not giving up. You don't give up on people. You don't give up on relationships. You don't quit once you commit, and you commit when God tells you to commit. If God don't tell you to commit, then don't commit. People say, I don't make promises that I know I can't keep. That's good. But when you give your word, it's just as good as a promise. So, what am I telling you? Live in endurance. Don't be a quitter. Don't give up. Because the prize oftentimes is right outside of when you quit. They say it's darkest right before dawn. You know, keep on the fight. Stay in the race. Stay in the game. And let's not be weary in well doing. Don't let it get you down. Remember, you do it as unto God. Do it with joy. Do it with happiness. Do it with peace. and you're going to be a witness for the Lord with just your activity. You may not even have to open your mouth. Your actions are a bigger testimony than your mouth. But when it comes time to open your mouth, give the glory to God, because it is Him inside you who has changed you, who has grown you, who has matured you, and helped you to be in it, to win it. If you can't be in it to win it, don't do it halfway. Endurance, the whole race. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word that went forth. Lord, I know it has touched ears that are prepared to hear. I know that the seed of your word is fallen in fertile ground. Folks are so hungry for your word today. Folks are so hungry to know what thus saith the Lord. Lord, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for keeping us. And Lord, thank you for correcting us when we need correction. Now, maybe your life lines up perfectly. Maybe you need some reflection and need to talk to God and ask Him to create in you a pure heart and give you the character traits that are godly, so that when people see you living out your Christian life, they understand that you have been with God. I want to thank you for listening to these Bible studies. I want to thank you for being faithful. I want to thank you for sticking with me and staying in. You know, a lot of times these words are challenging and they bring conviction. And a lot of times we don't want to sit tight and deal with the conviction. A lot of times we want to run away and disassociate. But here, where the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, and He's speaking it because He loves you and He wants to create in you a pure heart and present you back to Himself without spot, without a wrinkle. So give God praise because He's still with you. He's still working with you. He's still working on you. And hey, invite somebody to come back and listen with us next week. Let's grow this audience. There are people out there who need the Word of God. There are people out there that hunger and thirst for the pure Word of God. And they don't have a local church to go to, or maybe they're working and, you know, they can just listen to the podcast. They can't go meet with their fellowship. So invite them to fellowship with us, because we know that God is good and He's good all the time. So some big announcements are coming up. Stay with us as you listen to this. If you have not joined the Facebook group, Docs Bible Study Group on Facebook, please join us so that we know who you are and where you are, and you'll get all the little prompts and events to know when the Bible study is and what the Bible study is going to be on and that kind of thing. Thank you for joining us. Come back soon. We appreciate your support. Whether it be prayer support or financial support, we appreciate it. Our word of mouth, just by sharing with others. Thank you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.